1940s, golden age of radio. Oh, oh, oh. Turn back that dial and stay for a while. The times are a-changing. A podcast, a new sound, taking it back. Do you hear that? You hear that? You're on a new track, a new track.
Hello and welcome to another episode of
The Second Golden Age of Radio.
With your host, Richard Templeman.
And I'm Kelly Tolley.
Today we're going to talk about a lovely old-time radio series called Escape. Escape was radio's leading anthology series of high adventure radio dramas, airing on CBS from July 7th, 1947 to September 25th, 1954. Since the program did not have a regular sponsor, they had a lot of different schedule shifts along their series life. And then they had a lower production budget as well. So even though it did have a lot of issues, Escape did enthrall many listeners during its 7-year run, and the series is well remembered from its opening title sequence. Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape! And then the second announcer, Roy Rowan, would add, Escape, designed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure. And an interesting fact is there was a television counterpart which aired on CBS TV for a few months during 1950. Like a lot of the old-time radio series, though, it didn't last as long. Today's episode is really exciting because as they introduce it, they say, this episode, Escape, was so good, we couldn't just release it in one episode. It had to be done in a two-part episode. And it's called Earth Abides.
I would say that Escape might be my favorite of the CDs, of the radio shows that we've listened to. I enjoyed it very much, and I'm not sure that I can explain why I liked it more than the others. I'll have to think about it and let you know, because I really did enjoy it. It made me simultaneously be entertained and suspense. I had lots of suspense, but also giggling at how silly and old-fashioned it was. There were some things that just cracked me up. Radio shows in general make me laugh because they're so dramatic, but obviously they have to be because they're on the radio. But it was also very suspenseful, and I thought, I don't know if it was just, I felt like it was more relaxed feel. I felt like it kind of almost had more of a modern feel, like this is like the 1950s version of The Walking Dead, basically, without as many zombies. But I thought it was really good, and it's definitely like a popular mode of story today. I feel like that there's still a lot of that end of the world scenario that is happening. I guess that kind of storyline will never grow old. So those are my initial thoughts.
You, finding life rather dull, dreaming again of exotic places, wishing you were somewhere else, we offer you Escape.
Today, Escape brings you one of the most unusual and terrifying stories of recent years. It is a story of such scope that the producers of Escape, in order to dramatize its full impact, will present it in two episodes. So now, with the performance of John Daner as Isherwood Williams, we bring you part one of George Stewart's powerful novel, Earth Abides.
Earth Abides.
If a killing type of virus strain should suddenly arise by mutation, it could, because of the rapid transportation in which we indulge nowadays, be carried to the far corners of the earth and cause the death of millions of people.
If you should awake some morning, tomorrow morning, let's say, if you should wake to a man-dead world, where virtually all of human life had been dissolved from the face of the earth, leaving behind only buildings, bridges, machines, if you should awake to such a world tomorrow morning, what would you do?
It reminded me so much of The Walking Dead. Very good point. I thought that them talking about a disease or plague wiping people out while one person is kind of secluded totally reminded me of the first episode of Walking Dead. And I was almost wondering if they were going in a zombie direction, which they didn't really do. But it has some of the same aspects of it, people trying to survive in a world after a lot of people have been killed by virus or plague. So that was so interesting. It almost had an Adam and Eve vibe. Reminded me of the TV show Last Man on Earth. Yeah, but it was a really great story. I agree, it had a lot of drama, a lot of suspense, a lot of intrigue. And you do have to laugh at some of it, but I loved his narration. It did paint a very good picture of what was going on, as he was alone for a lot of it, so he had to describe everything that was going around him. But yeah, I just wanted to clarify some of my points from earlier and invite more talk about the episode. And if not, we should also think about how we could do an episode like Escape. Some story of a world not unlike ours, but a little displaced from ours. You know, to get that good escape feel. Yeah, it's something to think about.
Yes, I agree with you about The Walking Dead, obviously. And also, when you said Adam and Eve, it reminded me of another one, is Wally, that it kind of reminded me of, where Wally is left behind on Earth when everyone else is gone. Of course, he's not human, but I've always said that it's like the story of Adam and Eve. Her name is even Eve, and Noah's Ark all at once. You know, they bring the olive branch back to prove that there's life and everything. So I could definitely see both of those, but Walking Dead particularly seems like relevant in today's world. But I thought it was a good, you were talking about the narration too, and I got to thinking maybe that was part of the reason I like this one more than others, because they talk about because he's narrating the story and the narration is very good. And I think maybe that's part of the problem I have with some of the others, is that the dialogue just reads cheesy. Because most of the time, what was the most cheesy to me about this one in particular was the dialogue. So the narration kind of made it more grounded, maybe? I'm not sure exactly what I'm trying to say, but that's the gist of it, I think. Thoughts?
I agree that the narration grounded it and the dialogue is more cheesy. Something else we've been studying just in our personal lives is back in that day they used an accent called the transatlantic accent, and it was more of an acquired accent that kind of stated your affluence. So when people talk like this, it was very intentional. And I think a lot of the radio shows had that kind of voice, you see? Very transatlantic. And in Canada, they had a similar accent as well during that time period. So I'm just wondering, you know, because when he does the narration, he's not so much going, oh my gosh, I'm being performative and I'm using my performance voice to talk to all my friends and blah, 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 cheesy, cheesy, cheesy. He's more like literally saying, I'm lost in the woods. And I don't know what's wrong with me, and it's more naturalistic. So agreed, definitely agreed. So if we were to modernize the story, I feel like you're right, it's so similar to all these different iterations of the Bible stories. It's similar to lots of creative things that we've been watching on television. So we can just make up anything and it would match along those lines.
Yeah, that's true. It seems like it's fairly easy to modernize. I guess that's what I'm saying, because it feels fairly modern anyway. Maybe that's the trick, is that because Earth as we know it hasn't been obliterated and remade, it's only in forms of that story that we come to what we think it would look like, so that an old story like that will be as modern as today's story, because we haven't actually seen how it would happen, I guess. Whereas, you know, like, I feel like some things change, like, you know, The Father Knows Best, like, there's always teenage girls and their daughters and their husbands and their dads and things like that, and their wives. And so that story changes through time as the generations change. But the trick with this one, modernizing it, is that we don't really know exactly how it was before, because it hasn't been before, I guess. So it's something new that, it's a new story that you can put your new spin on every time, and it can be original or it can be derivative, as the word is. Also, on another note, can we talk about the mystery a little bit? When he got bit by a snake and he went to this cabin and he passed out and he woke up and he heard voices come in and say, oh my gosh, he's definitely alive, let's get out of here. But they never really addressed that at all anymore. It was just, these are people that are alive. Whatever happened to those people? Did they die with the disease, or were they alive and they survived somehow too? And snake bite, did it have anything to do with it or not?
I don't know how long I was unconscious, but I was awakened by the door.
Harry? Harry, look here. This one's still alive, I think.
Hello. I'm glad you came. I'm sick.
You're still alive, all right. Don't go near him. Come on, let's get out of here.
No, wait. I'm sick. Come back. Why did they leave me when they knew I was sick? What were they afraid of? I wondered how I had survived. Perhaps the snake venom had counteracted the virus. Perhaps the clean wilderness, who could say? But somewhere, someone else was alive. The men at the cabin door, there must be others, but where? I passed some cows in a pasture. Smiled to myself at the irony. The world belonged once again to the animals.
So derivative. No, I thought the same thing. Was the importance on the snake bite? I think it was a MacGuffin. Like, he thought, oh, maybe because I got bitten by a snake, that saved me from the plague. I think it might have had more to do with the remoteness of where he was located. And I also think that those people were also in that remote area, so they didn't get affected. Because obviously there were other human beings not affected by the plague disease, and that they were there. But I think it was to confuse us at the beginning of the story, and then it didn't really clarify, but I think it was meant to tell us that people survived, and there was not a lot of people that survived, and so they just figured he was dead, and when he was alive, they were scared. Kind of reminded me on Walking Dead, whenever they meet real people that aren't zombies, those people are almost more dangerous than the zombies because they want to kill you anyway. So you're like, can't the living people just stick together, please?
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. It could have just been to set up the storyline as far as that goes, and to show that there were other people that survived, because, of course, they show that later on without showing those specific people, and by the farmer that he passes by. And I guess that is indicative of the way he feels that he ought to live and create the new world, is when he passes the Negro farmer, as he calls him, that didn't seem to care about what was going on around him. And that's sort of the theme, or the way he chooses to go on with Earth as he was. And you're right, it's very much like running into other humans, and what makes you mad about Walking Dead is the way that they always fight each other when they should be just fighting together to try and figure out how to bring the Earth back from a zombie apocalypse. Or bring the Earth back from year one, the year of the baby. How to bring it back from there.
We are just moving right along on this podcast, on this radio adventure of escape. And what I think, Kelly, is I think women's lib and feminism and everything, that the main character should not be a man, should be a woman. So I feel like you should take the reins and be the narrator on this one. I can maybe introduce the show if you want me to, just let me know. But I think you should start it, and you should be the main person.
Okay, let me think on it, and I will check back in. That sounds fun.
We tune in to another episode of Runaway from Real Life with your stars, Kelly Tolley, and yours truly, Richard Templeman. Our story begins at the end, if you will, the end of civilization as we know it. We have a woman in her 30s, struggling, but surviving. This was just before society changed to be different. She decided to go hiking and biking and triking and canoeing and kayaking. And as she was in Virginia on the Appalachian Trails, doing all these things and more in that area, something else was happening in civilization. Something happening that would change civilization. But she would not know it until one day she woke from a 5-day sleep. How she got into the sleep, we don't know. But after 5 days of her being asleep, she woke up, and everything was different. Wake up. Wake up, Cynthia. Cynthia, you've been asleep for 5 days. It's time to wake up.
5 days? 5 days later? Lay down for a 15-minute power nap after hiking and biking and trucking and canoeing and kayaking. Oh, it's 5 days past. What happened to me?
Look, look down from the mountain path and you shall see a sight. Cynthia, look down at all the people and notice that they're not moving.
Why are they not moving? I see, there's no one moving down there. Well, they're moving, just very slowly. It's almost like they're slugs or something. They're just shivering around on the ground, very slowly. What happened while I was sleeping?
The great disease. The great disease. I'm the only one not affected because I'm imaginary.
Imaginary? But I almost can see you. It's almost like you're right here. Great disease. What great disease? Did it spread from consumerism?
It did spread from consumerism. We consumed so much. All the things for Christmas and New Year's gifts and St. Patrick's Day gifts and Valentine's Day gifts and Easter gifts and all the buy this and sell that and buy, money. Luckily, you were doing a nature thing.
Settle down there, imaginary Rupert. You're stressing me out.
Cynthia, you only have one thing to do.
What's that, the imaginary Rupert?
Survive.
Oh my gosh, okay. gotta survive. I can do this. No, I can't. I can't do this.
One more thing. Never let the slug people touch you, lest ye be consumed.
But the slug people, they're making their way up the hill towards me. What do I do? I should put on, like, plastic baggies, trash bags over my legs and arms. That will help me. That will help me protect me.
Survive.
Okay, I'm putting plastic bags, trash bags over my legs, hands, and not face. Face would kill me, and I would really not survive. And that's what Imaginary Rupert wants me to do, is survive. I guess I need to make my way someplace safer than just right here where the slugs are coming. They'll get to me in 3 or 4 months at this rate.
So Cynthia did make her way away from the slugs. She made the ways so far away, in fact, that the slugs hadn't a chance. They might slither away and die, these once human slugs, into the abyss. But unfortunately, that wasn't the only thing Cynthia had to deal with. There were also other unaffected humans that were after her.
Oh, that has been a long trail. I feel like I've moved 2 cities over by now. It's been months. I made my way through the slug people, but I see some people in the distance.
Hello!
They're standing straight up.
Hi!
They're waving. Should I go over? No.
Hello.
No, I think I better protect myself.
Where are you going?
I should hide. I'll hide behind this tree.
What's going on? Where are you?
Oh my gosh, why do you sound so close, human people?
Hey, we don't mean you any harm.
I trust them. Okay. I gotta survive somehow, so I may as well go visit people like me. Hello. My name is Cynthia.
Hi.
I come in peace.
Hi. Oh, so do we. Don't mind these guns. Oh. We just have to protect ourselves from the slugs.
Oh, yeah. You have slugs here too?
Oh, yes. We were on our honeymoon, so we missed out on all the adventures. But unfortunately, my husband, he was taken by the slug. That's how I know they're not supposed to touch us.
Oh. Oh, my. Okay. So, what do we do now?
I think the best thing to do would just be start our lives together.
Just start our lives together?
Yeah. Just trust me. You've known me for a minute.
The power of girl friendship.
Yeah. I think it'll be fine.
We can survive.
We can survive.
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 Survive, survive.
And survive? We did survive. We made it. Another 3 years together. Third year. Everything started to change.
Oh, I can't move. Cynthia, I can't get out of bed.
What's wrong?
I don't know. I think maybe the slug virus has become airborne because...
Oh, no!
Look at my legs. They're turning.
They're turning. They're turning. And that's a layer of slime. Oh, no. I have to leave you.
Cynthia.
What's happening to my brain?
It's not safe for you here anymore.
I have to go. I have to go. It's been so nice.
Wait.
Before
you leave, take this. And point it at me and just pull it. Pull the trigger.
Pull the trigger on this water gun?
I know...
Okay.
I know you don't think it will work, but I know for a fact that certain quantities of water will kill me.
Yeah.
In this state.
Salt water. Salt water destroys slugs.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to do this to you.
Survive.
So now I'm all alone again with my saltwater gun. I guess I should try to see if there's other people out there like me that are still upright and have somehow survived this disease.
It would be another year before Cynthia encountered anyone else again, and undoubtedly she made sure they weren't affected by spraying them with the gun first.
Sorry, it's just a precaution. I have to make sure that you're safe.
I am safe, and now spray yourself so I know that you are safe too.
It's me, I'm safe. Cynthia.
Well, I have a home. It's on a higher peak of a mountain. And if you would want to live there with me, perhaps we can wait out the slug's extinction and be safe together.
My goodness. People move very suddenly around here. I've been traveling for a year and you want to move in together after 30 seconds.
There's no other way.
Okay, if there's no other way, I should at least know your name.
It's Bill.
Okay, Bill. All right, let's move in together.
All right. The children are awake now, Cynthia. It's been 5 years since that first day we met. I know, don't cry, Cynthia. They're starting to make broadcasts again over the radio waves, and
oh,
it would seem that this might be the year of the extinction that we've been hoping for.
Oh, things are getting better.
I think it's time to let our family grow with the other families that are on the other mountains across the valley.
Are you sure that's safe?
Well, we either live here alone with just our one family unit, or we try to rebuild the human race.
Okay. All right. Let's try.
And they did try. Bill and Cynthia did find other families, and the human race was once again reborn. The disease of the slug humans was eradicated by time and eventually science, so it would never happen again. And this time around, we hope humans never fall victim to consumerism to the point of creating new diseases. This has been an episode of our show. What? Neither do I. We'll figure it out. Thank you for joining us.
Zero hour. Is that it?
I don't remember.
No, I don't know either. It's been too long.
It's been too long. So did you enjoy that episode?
It was torture bringing myself back into the improvisation. But ultimately it was worth it.
I agree.
It's lovely being here with you. It makes it easier to do it with my scene partner.
I think you're right.
Marco Polo, wonderful as they are. Face-to-face is always lovely as well.
So thank you for tuning in to another episode of The
Second Golden Age of Radio.
See you next time.
Bye-bye.